Get back to 3 John here. And we're going to talk through a new portion of this epistle. We'll be looking at verses 5 through 8 as a section. So reading verses 5 through 8, it reads here, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." So I see here in this section the topic of being fellow helpers to the truth, coming from verse 8 there, of being fellow helpers to the truth. And the first thing I want to notice here in verses 5 and the first half of 6 is the blessing upon being a blessing. Here John is commending Gaius for being the blessing that he is, that he was. So we see the encouragement here. If you want another point of what I'm saying here, it's the encouragement of a faithful work of hospitality. John the apostle is encouraging Gaius in what he's doing. So, if we look at verse 5 just today, we can unpack this. There's a lot here. But we see, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." First of all, we see here the notice of deeds of faith. So, how is John giving his blessing upon Gaius being a blessing? Was the notice of deeds of faith. John takes notice of what's happening in Gaius' life. And so we seem to have a fresh transition here in verse 5 by means of the word beloved. We see the word beloved in verse 2. We see the word beloved in verse 5. We see, you say, almost like it's a transition. Yet John was still writing concerning Gaius and his faith. There's still that train of thought about his walk in the truth. He was still on that subject, but turning slightly to something more specific. That is Gaius' hospitality and then commending him for such show of compassion to traveling brethren. This was in part John's way of showing approval of this man's faith and love put in practice. John was rejoicing in the many reports of Gaius' walk in the truth. He was excited that a man like this was being consistent to honor and support the truth. And so from verse 4, we saw that this was a tremendous joy. This just filled the apostle John with great joy. It warmed him, and it was no surprise, and it is no surprise that John now was giving notice to the deeds of Gaius and supporting all he was doing. Now, you see the words, "thou doest." That's your typical word for doing, making. It's poieo. It's your typical word. It denotes action, you know, the action of doing something, or as I termed here, deeds that he was doing. So I'm using the word deeds to kind of represent what's being said here. "Thou doest these deeds." Now, the word "faithfully" here, you see it looks like, okay, if you know your English, that looks like an adverb, right? Yeah. But actually, in the Greek, it's actually an adjective. It's an adjective functioning as an object. So, what does that mean? It's the direct object of "thou doest." What is he doing? Well, what is he doing? So it would read like this: "Beloved, thou doest a faithful thing." Thou doest a faithful thing. So that's the idea. Now, how it's translated is good in light of the rest of the sentence. When we read the rest of the sentence, we understand why they did faithfully. Makes sense. But if you just take it as face value of what it looks like in its Greek, it's a faithful thing. So the idea of faithful is not what we think of in terms of consistency. You know, when you say someone, he's very faithful. I mean, he's, you know, he's trustworthy. He's, you know, you can count on him to get the job done. But that's not the idea being used here. It's rather the idea, and this is in context, is the idea of being easily persuaded or fully persuaded in the Christian faith. Being as one who trusts in God's promises, as being completely convinced of the faith of Christians. The idea of something being done consistent and or in harmony with a strong belief and persuasion of the Christian faith. Therefore, Gaius did what he did because he believed in the truth. He was a firm believer in the truth. So that's why he supported those who preached the truth, because he believed in it. He believed in the Christian faith because his life was consistent with and committed to the truth. We just saw that in verses 3 and 4. We see his life. This is just the way his life was in general. And so it'd be no surprise that he would be hospitable to those who are preaching the truth and trying to spread the truth to others. He wants that. So this is consistent. He demonstrated great faith by his helping those who traveled to preach the gospel. He believed in the work of these traveling brethren. He believed that they were on the same team, both committed to the same faith. So Gaius was diehard about the faith, and that showed by him supporting and housing those who preached it. And so we note then, hospitality towards godly and faithful brethren is a work of the Christian faith. Simply put, it's a work of the Christian faith. Say it as in it's said here, it's a faithful thing. It's a thing full of faith. And it does take faith. Because, you know, people have certain situations, you know, like with family. Like, family could say, why are you housing those people? You must be one of those people. It takes faith. Okay? It's a demonstration of your faith in the truth. Such hospitable deeds make no mistake that you are in the Christian faith all the way. It's showing that you are in this all the way. So much so that you are willing to expend your resources and your time to help it move forward. This is how you help. You help it move forward with your time and your resources. And we note then also, this type of demonstration of faith is noteworthy. It's noteworthy. I mean, the apostle here is making note of it as a faithful thing, as a thing that is in harmony with the Christian faith. It's noteworthy. We see this done in Scripture, and I've preached this passage before, but Luke 8:1-3, we see writer Luke there making mention of all the women that were supporting the ministry of Christ and the disciples. And how did they do it? With their hospitality. All right? So it is something to note. What does that mean then? It is not a lesser thing. To be a hospitable person is not a lesser thing. Whether someone is the missionary going to the mission field and giving up everything and sacrificing in that, or someone is one who houses and takes care of the needs of a missionary. Both are necessary. Both are necessary. And both are commendable. We have to believe that. That hospitality is actually a thing of faith. It's good. It's a good thing. But I don't have my name. I don't have my name like William Carey. You know, I don't have my name on that. So what? Your name is in heaven. That's good. And guess who looks well upon hospitality? God does. Some can't be the missionary. They just can't be. But some can be the host to a missionary. And being the hospitable host is actually a great thing. We have to commit that in our minds, that it is a thing of faith, and therefore it is a great thing to be involved with. So don't think of it as a lesser thing. Think of it as a great thing. Something great that you can do to support the ministry of so many people. So, you know, we saw this as we went through the missions conference. You see the gratefulness, the thankfulness that these missionaries had in being accommodated in so many ways. So thankful. Brother Kumar's letter, right? All right? His many adjectives. Because he's very thankful, okay? They greatly appreciate it. So let's not think of it as a lesser thing. Let's think of it as a great thing of faith. So we see the notice of deeds of faith. Also here we see the frequency of these deeds. See, how do you say see frequency? Well, you see how it said faithfully, okay? There's a reason why they translate it faithfully. There's actually a word here that we don't actually see in our English, but it's there, and then the sense is there here. We have a particular sentence construction here. So we have a pronoun that is coupled with a particle of condition, which is eton. You don't see it here in the English, but it is there in the Greek, eton. It's a particular construction that is paired with a subjunctive verb. You say, what's subjunctive? Just subjunctive verb in verse 5, where he says, in the second half, thou doest. When you pair that up as a construction, and we see this in other places, but when you pair that up as a construction, it can be roughly understood as this: whenever or as often as. Whenever or as often as. Which gives that conditional aspect that it could happen and it does happen, and whenever it happens, as often as it happens. It does happen from time to time, and it will continue to happen from time to time. It's very possible to happen, very possible to happen from time to time. So it's noting here a frequency aspect. A frequency aspect. So if I were to kind of lay it out for you, the sentence would sound like this: Beloved, thou doest a faithful thing, which thou doest whenever or as often as you do it to the brethren and to strangers. That's how it would read in its, you could say, its Greek construction. But it's translated here, thou doest faithfully, like it's an ongoing thing, like it's an ongoing practice. It's something that keeps reoccurring as a practice. And so we see it there too in the sense of the translation. This reveals simply to us that Gaius frequently showed forth this faithful deed of hospitality. It was something often for him. He was regular about it. And he obviously was known for it. There's no doubt. He poured his life into this Christian duty. This is one thing that he could do in his life, one thing that he can really serve others in. He made it his service to the preachers of the gospel. In addition to all this, we have these two verbs here, thou doest and thou doest. Obviously, one's present and one is present active and one is a present subjunctive or aorist subjunctive. So you have an active and a subjunctive. You say, what does this mean? How does this support what's being said with the present active and an aorist subjunctive? Present tense is obviously now. Aorist tense is past. Okay, how do these pair up? You know, what's being said here? Well, the present verb in the first half presents to us a status or condition of Gaius in the time of the letter writing. The fact that Gaius did a faithful thing. John was saying, right now, as I'm writing this letter, it's a faithful thing you do. And this was true because of the past tense of thou doest in verse 5, which presents to us the moments or events of time in his life where he showed hospitality up to this point. And he continues to do, and it's very, very probable, very probable that he's going to do more just because of his track record. This is just the way he is. So what do we see? Continuity. A repetition of him being hospitable to traveling brethren. John had multiple accounts. That's what we're saying. John had multiple accounts of Gaius being hospitable. And he could go through the files of his mind and see repetition of this action. And every single time that Gaius did such a thing, every time that he was hospitable to a traveling brother or sister, he was doing a faithful thing. He was showing forth great faith in the truth. He was manifesting the strength of the Christian faith in his life. And so when we think about the frequency of hospitality, and we think about ourselves, one note we have to make is there has to be a when for you. There has to be a when for you. W-H-E-N. It has to happen. When does it happen? Is there a when for you? Meaning, is there a time for you? It does happen. There has to be a when. If there's going to be a record, if there's going to be a logbook and file of how you are this way, then there first has to be a when aspect. Okay? Now also then, there has to be a repetition of whens. A repetition of whens. If it will be considered a remarkable reputation of you. Here, it was a remarkable reputation of Gaius. Why? Because there were multiple times he had behaved this way. There are multiple accounts that could be, that John could look to and say, yes, this is completely true of this man. It happens time after time after time after time. Every time there's a traveling brother coming into town, he's the first one. Boom. He's the guy. He's got his bed. He's got the bed ready. He's got the room ready. He's got everything just ready to go. As we see this later, and we'll revisit this idea later, but there has to be a multitude of whens for this to be a remarkable reputation. And so a question is, have you become a frequent lover of hospitality? You can become one. You can become one. And as often as you do it, as frequent as it becomes in your life, every time you show hospitality to brothers and sisters who travel with the gospel and the truth, it is a demonstration of your faith in that gospel and in that truth. You are supporting it. You are giving your support to that work. You often then show your support and faith to the truth. And again, the question is, how frequent is it in your life? And then, in what ways can you make it more frequent in your life, if all possible? Say, it's not frequent in my life, and I want it to be. Well, then, in your mind, think of ways, how can I make it more frequent? How can I make, and that's just a question, there's your assignment. There you go. Sunday school, this is your assignment. You go back home today, and you think of ways that you can, in your own way, in your situation, how you can make it probably more frequent. And it may not be, you know, maybe just taking the missionary out to a meal or something. Something like that. You're just showing some hospitality and some support in those ways to that traveling brother and sister. So think of ways that you can make it more frequent in your life. It was frequent in Gaius' life. We see this as a good example of what hospitality looks like. It's just something that's frequent. It's just a way of life. Okay? Thirdly, we see the work involved. The work involved. All right? If you look at verse 5, and you see the second half of the verse where it says, thou doest, you know that's a different word. It's a different word than the first half, thou doest. This word means to work, to labor, to exercise yourself in one thing, to perform a duty or a work. Labor. It means to labor. And obviously it's with the accusative of something here. All right, what is it? What is the work that Gaius was doing? Well, it's the faithful thing. Well, what is the faithful thing? It's hospitality. All right? But here simply we see that hospitality is not only an act of the Christian faith, but also it is work. Simply said, hospitality is work. Humanly speaking, it is work. Okay? It bears forth the idea of continued exertion. Continued exertion. Now, have your mind go back to the story of Mary and Martha. What happened with Martha? She was cumbered about, right? She was working very hard, and she got herself in trouble, okay? All right? But it takes work. That's my point is, it does take work. It bears the idea of mundane servitude, as of those who are assigned to some work, some business, or some position of a servant. Simply said, hospitality is work. And it can become laborious, okay? And it doesn't have to be in a bad sense. When we think of that adjective, we say, that means it's bad. It's labor intensive, okay, right? But it does take energy. To be hospitable does take energy. It does take time, and it does interrupt schedules. Some call labor as the grind. You ever heard that before? The grind. I'm going back to the grind. As my dad would say, another day, another dollar. Okay. All right, the grind. And hospitality, especially regular hospitality, where like it's a revolving door, okay, all right? It can feel like the grind, but of course, it is a good grind. The ushers actually, as you do it, as often as you do it, it actually will give you spiritual satisfaction to your soul because you know that this work, this work of hospitality, is to support the work of God. It's different than going to a job. You go to a job, get your paycheck, go back home. Okay? But this is different. You're serving the servants of God. That's so much greater. It's not for the money, it's not for the praise, but it's for the continuance of God's work. And that causes the work of hospitality not be so difficult. Hopefully. Okay? But we are human, though. We have to come to reality. It is work. It wearies the body of the Christian servant. Sometimes it is labor intensive to the body. I'm sure that's probably why John was a little bit concerned about Gaius' health. It requires exertion and sometimes more time and resources that would be not normally expended. It requires a few things of service, and let's think about what kind of labor is involved in hospitality. Well, number one, housing. Housing, which includes space for a person. You have to make space for a person, which includes you have to get the bedding ready, toiletries, towels, all those things. You have to get all those things ready. You have to make sure all the laundry's done, prepared, ready for it, right? That's work. It takes work to do that. Housing. Another thing, meals. Meals. You ever cooked a meal? It's labor, huh? Okay. All right. Food that befits the person. So it may not be your normal, meal. Because, you know, some people have certain restrictions on what they can eat, certain times of their life, and, you know, all those things. So you have to be fitting to that person. Buying the food, that takes labor. Buying the food, preparing the food, and then serving the food. Meals. Thirdly, time. Time, which includes changes to your schedule. Another person in the mix, okay? Time for dialogue, where you have to sit down and actually converse with a person, takes time, okay? Might be 3 or 4 hours later, okay? So, extra plans, picking up and dropping off, driving like a chauffeur. These are all services that we do as we're hospitable. Time. Interest, which includes putting away self-interest. Loving another person's life and story. And sometimes just listening. Where you don't have to be the talking head. You just sit and listen. Isn't that what Mary did? She sat and listened to Jesus. That's part of hospitality too. Comfort, which includes a welcome atmosphere. You're welcome to be here. We love you. Here's a fruit basket. Okay, all right. You know, a pre-house cleaning. You ever cleaned your house before someone comes? A lot of work, huh? Maybe a little bit different than your normal cleaning, okay? All right? Say, no, my house is always spick and span every single second of my life. Great for you. But normally, if someone's coming over to your house, you might do some extra cleaning. That's work. Presentation of room and board. The presentation, that takes work. And then service to whatever amenities you would like to serve to your guest. Okay? We always like to give, and guests always like some neat little amenities. Wow, that's a neat looking piece of soap. Wow. That's better than the hotel. Okay? You know, just amenities. But all of these things, what? Take labor. Before, during, and after each stay. But it is well worth the work for the sake of another person's ministry. Honestly speaking, every missionary greatly appreciates the servant-like work of church members. It's highly spoken of. And I already noted that. We saw that. We see that they greatly appreciate that work that is put in. So we see the work involved. And then also we see here the benefactors of these deeds. Now, how do I get the idea of benefactor here? Well, if you look at the word to in verse 5, to the brethren and to strangers, that preposition can be translated as for or for the benefit of, for the advantage of. That's the sense of it. For the benefit of, for the advantage of. And you see it in other passages like Romans 15, 16 and verse 26, 2 Corinthians 8, 4 and 2 Corinthians 9, 1 and Mark 14, 6. We see this sense of preposition where you're trying to benefit others. And that's the sense of the passage. Gaius, in essence, sought the benefit and advantage of traveling brethren. That was the purpose of his hospitality. And this all goes back to the thoughts of the previous point. Simply said, it is a selfless attitude and action. There is no seeking self-gain nor self-glory. It is all about serving the needs and benefit of the brother or sister staying. And so this is the ambience of hospitality. It has nothing to do with the host or the hostess. It has everything to do with the guest. The Christian guest. Now, another interesting note here is the phrases where it says, to the brethren and to strangers. you might think that those are two phrases of two classes of people. You think. Okay? Thinking that Gaius served not only the brethren of his own church, but also the brethren who traveled without, who traveled around. However, in light of verse 3, and in light of the whole context, as we read on, these are actually not two separate classes of people. But it could be translated this way. To the brethren, and that being strangers. Or to the brethren, namely, to strangers. Okay, so again, if you read it in the Greek and you read, you know, how Greek structures function, okay? You know, Greek is a different language. We speak English. And we have our own things. You know, in our English language, we have our own things that are idioms, that are ways of saying things that foreigners don't understand, okay? We understand it, but they're completely lost, okay, when we speak to them, okay? They don't understand the phrases. Same thing here. It's Greek to us, all right? But as they understood it in that day, they would understand it as the same class of people, almost acting as a positive or maybe like a further explanation to the brethren, meaning what I'm speaking to, strangers, those who are traveling. And this is actually, this formation is actually found in other places. 1 Corinthians 6:6, Philippians 1:28, and Ephesians 2:8. Why don't we look at one of those? 1 Corinthians 6:6, where we see this happen somewhere else. Okay, so it says here, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. So what is brother going to law with brother? Well, further explaining that, before the unbelievers. That's what's meant. Going before the unbelievers. That's what's meant about taking them to law. Going before the unbelievers. So we see there how the two phrases are equal. Okay? Just a further explanation. The second one is a further explanation of the first. So that's just an example of how this does happen. So when we go back to 3 John, we see that to strangers, the strangers is further explaining what he means by brethren. Okay. So this is a new unique point then. Okay? Just think about it. These strangers, now when you think of the word stranger, he's a strange person. No, not like that. Strangers in the Bible means foreigners. Those who are out of town, from a different country, from a different place. They're not like you. They're different. Okay? They come from a different place. Okay? Not strangely different, they just come from a different place, different way of culture, different church. Okay? So that's what's meant here. In those days, these would be Christians then not personally known to Gaius. Now, think of back in that day. There's no email, no text, okay? There's no internet. You can't look at their church website, okay? Can't do that. Can't look them up, okay? No printing missionary letters, none of that. So when they came into town, this probably was the first time. Maybe you heard word about them, but this is the first time you ever met them face to face, ever heard their voice. Okay? Also, there were no cell phones back then. Okay? All right. So connections back then were a lot farther apart. So this makes the fact of Gaius' hospitality so much greater because he was serving Christians whom he never met, never had known, or knew little, very little about, and who probably had a few differences about them. Okay? But he was willing to put away skepticism, to put away the petty differences, to stretch his horizons, to open his home and life to Christians he had never met before, and to make sure that they had a safe place to stay, being well served, fully provided for along their journeys. And this was all to gladly help the work of the Great Commission. Okay, so people who travel, they may not be exactly like Gaius. Okay, different personalities out there, different kinds of people out there. You know, people come from different parts of the United States. They may speak differently. Okay, they may come from a different church. Okay, now, of course, you know, we talked about this in 2 John. If there are major doctrinal differences, we understand that. Okay, we dealt with that in 2 John. Okay, but here in 3 John, we're dealing with traveling Christians whom we know, you know, we can trust. Okay, because we heard about them. Okay, but they may be slightly different than you. They may be taller than you. Okay, all right. They may have more to their family than you. Whatever, I don't know. Lots of differences. Let's say you never met them. This is the first time you ever met them. Gaius was not afraid to show hospitality to those whom he never met face to face. Maybe heard reports or heard about them, but he never met them face to face. Never, don't even know what their voice sounds like. Okay, all right. Well, this is what it takes. And so, how well would you open up your home? How well would you open up your home and life to traveling Christians, to missionaries whom you only heard of but never met, Christian visitors? Okay? When Brother Kumar came here, that was the first time I met him. Didn't know what he looked like, didn't know what his voice sounded like, okay? All right? Didn't know how he speak, didn't know, you know. I knew very little of him. But I was glad he's here. When it was all said and done, I was so glad he was here. It was a boost to my faith. You see, if you just open up to these people who are traveling through, you just might gain a few more friends of the Christian faith. You just might gain some more encouragement to your faith. You lose out on that when you close up, you pent up, and you don't allow yourself to be hospitable. So you say you don't know them. Well, I will only house them if I know them. That's the only way I will. Well, Gaius didn't do that. Okay? All right? Well, if you don't know, then inquire. I mean, look all the technology we have. Okay? I mean, when my wife was preparing things for these missionaries to come, she got on the phone. She got on the email. Started emailing and calling. Why? Because you need to know things. You inquire, you ask, you get interested. Okay? I didn't know Brother Kumar's ministry, so I asked. Okay? We ask, we talk about it. Get interested. Then prepare your home and the stay. And guess what? You just might gain a new Christian friendship. You might. And that's good. Okay? I was talking to my wife, and like, how do Will Heights have so many connections? Like, you guys, like, you know, when she first came out here, and we were recording, and she's just rattling off all these names, like, I don't know who you're talking about, okay? Who are you talking about? But they have all these connections. Why? Because there were months will be like their home would be like a rotating guest stay in South Africa. Okay? All right? Because they're willing to open up their homes and be interested in other Christians from churches of like faith and practice, and willing to spark those friendships and be hospitable. It could be the same for you too. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would instruct us through your word. We thank you for the examples that are given to us. I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, to support the truth and to be faithful to you in these ways. Father, I pray that you strengthen the brethren here as we continue through this day. In Jesus' name.